It's episode 2 of In Session with me, Eric Detheridge.
And I'm Ann Olquist.
In Session is supposed to be a short and revealing podcast about the 69th legislative session in Bismarck. And last week, Ann, was a big news week nationally with President-elect Trump's nominees interviewing for important cabinet positions. But it was also an important week for the new governor, Kelly Armstrong.
He laid out his budget recommendations.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to present to you our executive budget recommendations for the 2025-27 biennium.
Now, we said when we came up with this podcast that we would make it interesting. Governor Armstrong laying out his budget sounds like, admittedly, pretty dry stuff. And didn't Governor Burgum present a budget just last month?
I'll answer the second question first. Yes, Governor Burgum did. And?
Well, building on the interim work of the Burgum administration, our budget is a new budget recommendation with significant changes from what was presented to you all last month.
Governor Armstrong showing that he's his own person.
So to your second point about presenting a budget that's pretty dry.
We recommend a general fund budget of $6.6 billion and a total budget of $19.89 billion. With that total, there is $483.
So here's what I say to my friends who are just bored to tears by politics or frankly just tired of it all. Regardless if you're a mayor, Governor Armstrong, President of the United States, what you're talking about in Bismarck or at your local city commission or in Congress, it's about how to spend our money. That's what a budget is, our taxpayer dollars. So, Eric, what do you think most of the state's budget gets spent on?
Well, given that, you know, we have, what, five seasons in North Dakota, fifth one being construction, I would say infrastructure, you know, making sure their roads are taken care of, et cetera. You're squinting your eyes at me. Why do I get the strange feeling that I am wrong?
Well, I apologize if I just made you feel like you didn't know much about the state's budget.
I feel like the dumb sidekick, Ann.
It is, in fact, education. That does surprise people a lot.
So how much are we talking about?
So as a percentage, it was over a third of what was appropriated in the last session in 2023.
It must have taken up a lot of the speech because he delivered this to the Appropriations Committee.
He actually talked about the education budget for less than 3 minutes.
Hmm.
The speech total was about 20 minutes, and he does have to punch through a lot of topics.
But in these short couple of minutes, he outlined priorities for the education budget and one particular new recommendation.
Our budget contains $44.3 million to establish an education savings account program. The intent of the ASA program is to provide supplemental services through a digital wallet that reimburses for approved services and supports such as tutoring and mental health therapy.
So my ears perked up at this for a couple of reasons. One is that it's for any student, regardless of whether they go to public school, a private school, if they're homeschooled. It's for everyone.
We don't hear a lot about alternative education in North Dakota, like, say, charter schools.
So there's a reason for that. North Dakota is one of just four states that does not have charter schools.
And I'm presuming it's because the legislature has not yet gotten behind it.
The debate's been picking up over the last couple of sessions, but it's nowhere near the fever pitch of debates. This proposal for a savings account for all students on additional services opens the door just a crack about using state dollars for alternative education.
Hmm. I seem to remember in 2023, there was a firestorm over a bill that would have put several million dollars into vouchers, effectively subsidizing private education with public money.
That was House Bill 1532. And it did go to Governor Burgum's desk, and he vetoed it.
And I know you've got a couple other things before we look at your three numbers for this week. What else you got?
Might have a good cure for insomnia if you have it. So remember this term, transition minimum adjustment. And actually, Governor Armstrong says it in his budget recommendations.
We also urge the legislature to remove the transition minimum factor and the multi-plan adjustment from the formula.
I have no idea what that is, and I feel like it's my legislative broccoli. I should want to know what it is, but it's a lot of work to understand it.
So let's just start with what this transition thing affects. It really affects schools with few people, so rural areas. North Dakota has a per-student formula, and as you know, there are areas of the state with population decline, which would mean fewer students, which would mean fewer dollars, right? This transition minimum adjustment assured those schools they wouldn't see a dip in funding because just because you got fewer students doesn't mean that costs are necessarily less. Students in rural areas typically have to travel farther, more gas, fewer students on the bus, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to get a smaller school bus. So this transition thingy makes sure that these rural schools aren't, you know, getting unnecessarily underfunded.
Right. And we are in a rural state. We have legislators representing rural districts. And education is important in North Dakotans. Of course, it cuts across party lines. How would Governor Armstrong make sure every child, regardless of where they live, gets a good education?
So the legislature in 2023 approved gradually phasing out this funding, this transition thingy that's good for your insomnia. It was over 7 years. What Governor Armstrong proposed was to speed it up and move more quickly over to a weighted formula in 3 years.
But the amount of money is still less.
Let's just remember one thing. This is the governor's recommendation. It's up to the legislature to decide how much money is going to be spent or not spent, as the case may be. So something to keep our eye on as our elected officials move through these bills in the committees.
So what would it mean if this transition complicated thingy does get phased out earlier and schools who are relying on it see a shortfall?
You've been here for a long time, Eric. You've seen the consolidation of school districts. It's been going on for a while. School districts would look at consolidating schools if there's less money. You remember the story our reporter Danielle Webster did last year about the graduation of Edmore High School? We're probably looking at seeing some more less graduations as districts consolidate schools to find savings.
And the education budget also includes higher education. But it isn't just about making sure the buildings are taken care of. This is part of an overall retention strategy that Governor Burgum talked about a lot. How do we get North Dakotans to stay here and in the midst of still a big labor shortage?
That's right. Governor Armstrong proposed a matching program to incentivize philanthropy for higher education.
The Challenge Program is a proven tool that helps keep North Dakota kids in North Dakota schools. The program fosters public and private partnerships and promotes philanthropy to support higher education, matching every $2 in eligible private donations with $1 in state funds to advance academics in higher education, including student scholarships, research, technology, endowed chairs, and investments in educational infrastructure. With matching funds, the $50 million from the state will drive $150 million of investment in higher education over the next 2 years.
It seems like this is important to keep people here.
You know, Governor Armstrong never actually said the word retention in his budget recommendations, but it's a definite theme, like including funding to address the child care shortage, which is also in the education budget. A poll last November by the North Dakota News Cooperative showed almost 2/3 of respondents saying they do want the government to be more involved in child care. So Governor Armstrong, he's paying attention to that.
So Anne, every episode ends with our three numbers of the week. Anne, what's your first number?
44.3. And that's in millions of dollars. That's how much the governor is proposing for all students, including homeschooled and public education and private school students, for an educational savings account for tutoring and mental health services. And it's in my list because it's new.
Second number.
I got a bit of tape for that one. And it's not related to education.
And within 4 hours, we already had over 20 businesses that were signing on in opposition. So we are hearing a lot of businesses that are opposed to this and haven't gotten any calls of any that are in support at this time.
That's Catherine Grinberg, Executive Vice President of the Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo Chamber of Commerce. There was debate last week at the legislature about changing the so-called blue laws requiring businesses to close in the mornings on Sundays, and the businesses got mobilized. That bill died last Thursday.
And number three.
27, as in January 27th. That is the last day state senators can introduce bills. Whatever is in the hopper will set the debates for the next 60-some days.
80-day session. We are counting down. Well, thanks for tuning in to In Session, Prairie Public's weekly podcast that reveals the complex work of our legislature in Bismarck. I co-host the podcast, Eric Dethridge, along with Ann Alquist. Tate Calloway is our radio studio operator and production wizard. Christine McClellan is Prairie Public's communication manager. And Leah Peterson is our digital communications specialist.
Special thanks to Sheila Sandness at the Legislative Council for breaking down what transition adjustment factor actually means.
I was wondering how you knew what it was all about. Hey, you can subscribe to the podcast in all the ways on the platform of your choosing. You can also choose to follow Prairie Public on Facebook when new episodes are released. So we'll see you next week while we are in session.